I am stepping in with Mr. Norman, who's not feeling well.
Okay.
Pray that he gets better. But God pushes his body hard for older men, and that's okay. Because as an older man, I don't push anybody at all. But we need to be pushing everybody. And this morning, we're going to talk about purpose and mission. And that's a great focus, just to kind of get an understanding of both. So just purpose and mission, is, and this whole month is about evangelism, about the importance of evangelizing. Sometimes we forget about how important that really is. But we also sometimes forget about how important the church is. The church is important in evangelism. And over in Matthew 28:18-20, it says, and this is Jesus, he's gathered up on the mountainside, and it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, God's overall purpose is different from our purpose. If you've been around for a while, you know our purpose for a long time has been a focus, a heavy focus on the mission. Mm-hmm. And that's not bad, because people need saving. They just do. I needed saving and didn't know that I need somebody to save me. And it's not bad. But you know, many Christians believe that this is our purpose, that the mission is actually our purpose, as long as we remain on earth. I want to ask you why. Why? Why do we think that we were left to just evangelize? Maybe it's because so many preachers keep reading Matthew 28, which is a powerful scripture, and it's needed. And tell us that seeking and saving the lost is God's main purpose for why we were created. Maybe not the main purpose, but it is an important purpose for why we were created. But the question is, do you believe that the mission is the only purpose? You know, I do believe that seeking and saving is our mission. But is it God's purpose for us? We need to differentiate between our purpose and our mission. You know, I took time to kind of look up both words. So I got three definitions of purpose. I've been going in this Bible called the College Bible. I like it because it'll go and pull the meanings from the word way back in 95, way back before the grad. But so three different meanings for purpose. It says the purpose of something is the reason for which it is made or done. Your purpose is the thing that you want to achieve. Purpose is the feeling of having a definite aim and being determined to achieve it. God is determined to achieve unity in the church. Oneness. You know, God, the reason why he made us is so that his church will love him and he could love his church. It's purpose. But let's look at God's mission. Mission is defined as the purpose of something is the reason for which, a mission is the activities of a group of Christians who have been sent to a place to teach people about Christianity. Or as we know, discipleship. A mission is a group of people who have been sent to a foreign country to carry out an official task. God is the official, and he does give us tasks to carry out. A mission is an important task that people are given to do, especially one that involves traveling to another country. What's that mean? If someone says, go and make disciples, huh?
Right.
You got to go somewhere. But we see the difference between the purpose and the mission so far. Mm-hmm. Two different things happening. You know, are they the same? Some people think so, but their definition says they are not. When our purpose and our mission are the same, we become out of balance. It's just true, we lean heavily into one and neglect the other. But we need to get clear as to what they are. You know, for some people, you know, making and piling up money are their purpose and mission. That's true in our time and age. You know, this will twist all their relationships. For others, it's having a family. When the family is your whole world, you limit the impact you have in the world. Love my family is important, but you got to realize God created so many other people around here. You need your love also. Family will always be our first ministry, but God wants you to extend some of that love. When I grew up, I don't know if a lot of you grew up like this, but when I grew up, I always had to talk to play cousins. They're not necessarily family, but they hang around my family so much and we're so tired. And you feel like, man, that's my brother, that's my sister, that's my family. And so God's like, there's room for those other people. And believe it or not, if you ever grew up like that, you know that example. It's like they love it, always party, always eating at your table, eating at your food, eating everything. Like, man, it's always here, you know? They're a part of the family. That's what God's like. God said, family's important. I think we need to other people in also. You know, some live as they'll become an internet influencer with both their purpose and mission. And we have a lot of internet influencers these days.
Yes.
You know, when you do this, you inflate your importance in the world and truly have very little influence in the world. I want to share a story with you real quick, you know. As children of God, evangelism is not and cannot be our purpose. It is our mission, and remember that it passed assigned by our Father. Share a story here with you. It says, there was a town in Europe that around the year 1500, whose people decided that being small was no reason that there should not be a great cathedral to worship in. With one heart, they set about planning and gathering the stones and timbers that would be needed to construct such a beautiful place of worship. Construction began, and all the people, great and small, young and old, worked together side by side. They worked with passion and excitement because they loved God and desired to provide a magnificent palace for the name of God. They wanted Jesus lifted up and worshiped so that people from neighboring towns and even the farms would come every Sunday to sing beautiful songs and lift holy hands to the Almighty. Satan took note of the unity of the purpose and the effort. So he called an emergency meeting. He says, there can be no good ending to this for us if these people continue to work together for the same goal. We need a plan to put an end to the project before it becomes the root of a movement that is bigger than what we can handle. With that, the chief of demons demanded strategies to put an end to the troublesome project. One young and inexperienced demon came forward. They always seem to have the first idea, of course. We need to bring disaster on the town, and all the people will stop working. We've tried that many times, an older demon said. Most of the time, this only increases their passion for Jesus, and we end up in a more difficult fight. Then a young devil asked, why don't we send someone with a great business plan to tempt the workers with better pay and shorter hours? That usually works, replied the older demon. But that won't work in this case. These people are working for free and with great effort because of a heart problem. They are working out of love. That's a different problem to have. The thing we need to do here is to direct the hearts towards themselves. Help them to become selfish.
Wow.
If we can provide an inward focus so that each man, woman, and child begins to think that they are doing more than their share, or that they are missing out on some great joy, or even that they begin to doubt that they can accomplish such a great thing because they are so small in number, then we may distract them from the real passion and bring this thing to a halt. Satan himself stands and applauds. That will surely work if we can get them to take their focus from the love of the Almighty. We will certainly put a stop to this work. We may not get there quickly, but there is no doubt that if we can fuse their purpose, then their mission will always fail. You know, when we get our purpose straight, there's no power that can stop our mission. But when our mission becomes our purpose, we're already breaking down. So what is our purpose? We know what our mission is. It's to go and take the word of God to everybody. But what's our purpose? Matthew 22:36 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. You know, Jesus tells us that our reason for being a being as children of God and followers of Jesus is to love God with all we have. Everything should spring from that love as we set our sights on things above and our hearts are pleasing our Heavenly Father. Our mission becomes clear.
Amen.
So how do we go about living God? 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, God wants all people to be saved. He makes it clear in the scripture. Our mission. Loving God to the full is our purpose.
Yes, that's right.
We need to learn to embrace both.
Yes.
We got to embrace both. You know, Acts 2:42-47, we're familiar with it. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Do you see God's purpose and mission is messaging? They're meeting together. They're bonding together. As a church, leveling up. And in the midst of that, they're saving. The purpose and the mission of working together. You know, there's a root and fruit of faith here.
Wow.
If we go about loving the Lord individually and especially together, our love for one another will be very attractive to outsiders. Mm-hmm. To be effective in sharing our faith, we've got to have the love in our group that the world so dearly wants and needs.
Amen.
But it is not enough to love one another from the heart. We need to love one another in our actions. You see the disciples were constantly together. They spent time. They shared meals. They looked for needs and met those needs. They thought about how to make themselves part of their brothers' lives.
Amen.
You know, I think about a lot of things that happened here before we close out here. Just wanted to share, you know, one of the things that I've said over the years, I know that I don't know Corey's got another one in Jackson. But she used to have us over. I love her hospitality. You gotta do that.
Who's this?
Gloria.
Oh, Gloria.
Yeah, she used to live in Jackson, had a house in Jackson.
Okay.
She had us over a lot. Love her hospitality. She's always big on that. Really appreciate it. You know, the rain has been long to get a home and got a new home. And I know Richard said, as soon as we get home, we'll have people over. Man, this is what they've been doing, you know. I think about the rain that's been got here. Todd got that grill and everything, you know. Grill out, had to go in the house and hang out and people be in, you know. And the normal, the doors just stay. That's it. They keep the house open for the home. And there was a time in the doctor's when we had our other house over there, our house was the main house that we met. Before the Normans came, before God blessed us with the Normans, and they took over that torch, that mountain, having a home for us to meet in. Then there's the Cobains. They will feed you. If you come, they will invite you. Now, one of them says children, but I have to complete Scott. Scott said he just loved the ride, but I think Scott likes it too. I think Scott likes it too. But the Cobains, and then, you know, I think about Chris, you know. Chris always makes time to spend with every brother. He just does that. He was talking to me about going to coffee at the church a second. Come on, get some dinner going for this. But Chris always, if he's not trying to work out with you, we went to the gym last week. He's trying to do coffee. He just makes time. That's church.
Amen.
That's what church is. I'm going to make time for my family. That's not evangelizing. That's church. Mm-hmm. What you doing? Do coffee, work out, go shopping. Go with that. I remember when Zuma first got here, Repeat Street. I remember. He was picking up sisters, picking up Sharice. Let's go over there. That's church. That's purpose. Loving one another. Making a time for one another. I remember that. Todd is the official coffee taster. He's going to let you know you go to a place of coffee. This ain't good coffee here. I feel like if you tell him don't drink it, man, you want to live, you know? But he will let you know about great coffee places, and he loves to try different places. Let's go see what this place is about. See what that place is about. That's church. That's purpose. That's not evangelism. And God wants us to get both. You know, as we wrap up here, you know, love for God and His Son must provoke action. It just has to. You know, if we don't find ourselves doing because of whom we are loving, then we need to rekindle that love in our heart for our first love. Jesus. You know, me and Donald talked to me once, like Donald shared a story with me. Probably sure about it. But one of the things he shared about me, he says, when he was courting Zuma, he said one of the things he did, he made sure that he courted her daughters. He said, because you can't have one without the other. He said, you got to have both of them. And his purpose was to be united to come on Zoom. But he says, I've got to bring the girls along too. If you don't love her kids, you don't get her love. First John 4:22 goes ahead, guys. It says, for anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God. Whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. Let's show our love for God and our love for one another. Mm-hmm. I used to share this with God all the time. In my years, I've been around for a while. You know, in the kingdom, you can't rub each other the wrong way. You can't. I never forget. Brothers used to say this. And I think it was their way of working through it to be right with God. He used to say, Doc, I love you, but I don't like you. And I was like, I felt like he was trying to be God. I still love him. Right now, I'm just having a hard time being around him. But it's just true. But God is like, hey, how you going to say you don't love Sidney? You haven't even seen me. How you going to say you don't have no love for him yet, you know, but you love me? But God said, you know, before you can really appreciate what love of God is about, you have to also love his other creation. Even at times when they are difficult. Yes. Every time when they're difficult. And a person will say, you know, if you ever wonder what a difficult person look like, look at yourself. That's all. But it's true, you know.
It's true.
A lot of times we'll see the other person like they're just difficult. You know? I said, well, look at yourself. You know? You ain't easy to deal with.
Amen.
You know? Going to love God we have not seen. We've got to get better and improve and master that love of one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's church. That's purpose. Yes. So how do we do this? Number one, start by making it for all the meetings of the Bible. another gathering. Now, I want to be clear. When I was younger, I was a little different, a little older. There was another issue. If you're sick, don't you show up? I will practice that one scripture in open Timothy. I will practice the correction and rebuke part on you. When I was younger, I come to this church all sick. I had to be here. You know, but we want to be courteous and respect. You know, if you're sick, don't come. We understand. But other than that, you need to be meeting with the body. You need to be showing up. We need to be making it happen. Show up early. Or at least on time. And some of us is just like, hey, I'm that last name person. I know a brother on the day. And he was my disciple quite long ago. And one thing he hid about his wife was, when it was time to go to church, she would wait till the last minute to get in the shower. He's like, it's time to go. It's like 30 minutes straight. He used to run him up the wall. He's like, you going there? He's like, I'm ready. We got together. Okay, it's 9:30. Boy, let me go get a shower. Now, church starts at 10. You can go get a shower. He used to bother him to death. We don't want to wait till the last minute to go. And it's important to get there and be there time. Fellowship is needed. For the church. We're the church. That's our purpose. We need that fellowship. We do. You know, then we can move on to open up our homes to one another. You see, if we can get all these other things on right and master them, open up our home to other people won't be a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With a happy home. Mm-hmm. You probably say, well, yeah, I'm late, but I should open up my home. But doing everything right accordingly makes it a lot better. You know, when we embrace God's purpose for our lives, we will find success on the mission field. So, finally, in closing, let's love God, love each other, and create something that the lost or the world will want to be a part of. God and church is our purpose. What's the next one, Richard? The world is our mission.
Amen.
God be glory.